iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show here on iGlobal Radio. I'm Tony Patty and joining me today is Dikshesh Patel. And Dikshesh Patel was the founder and the brains behind the Lighthouse Capital Group, which was founded in 2017 in response to an ever-growing demand for higher GDV projects from investors seeking to diversify with experienced partners and opportunities. And of course, we're talking about property development here. He'd already built up a reputation as a trustworthy developer in his own right, and this company continues to flourish to this day. Dikshesh Patel is also a member of Trusted Land and a certified real developer, so making sure that everyone is bona fide in all the dealings. We'll talk about more about that in the program today. Dikshesh is now regularly invited by the property community to speak about matters ranging from securing investment and joint ventures to due diligence and deal appraisal. And Dikshesh Patel joins us here today on the iMoney Show. Dikshesh, a very warm welcome to you.
Hi, Tony. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to today.
Thank you very much indeed. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and experience, and what is it that makes you stand out as far as the Lighthouse Capital Group is concerned?
Yeah, so I'll start off from my own journey. I mean, I grew up in a corporate bank background within investment banking. And I've always been interested in property right from the early days in 1990 when I helped my mum and dad buy their ex-council property. Learned a hell of a lot as a 21-year-old young man about conveyancing and mortgaging and things like that. And then throughout time, it's only sort of in the last sort of 8 to 10 years where I thought, you know, I really enjoy this, wanted to go full time. And I actually quit the corporate world some 4 or 5 years ago to go full time in this business, and to work in property development and investment specifically.
So has the market since the 90s, you mentioned, has it been buoyant? Has it been successful? Because we've been through a couple of recessions, we've been through government changes and all sorts of different changes as well, taxation changes, Brexit as well. How buoyant has the market been, Dikshesh?
It's a great question. I think if you look at the sort of over the long-term horizon, there will always be blips. But if you look at the curve, it's always been moving on the upward side, right? With London being the primary heartbeat. So from my perspective, with real estate, it is a long-term investment. As long as you have good cash-bearing and cash-flowing assets, hold for the long term, because in the long term, the UK market is pretty stable.
We're talking to Dikshesh Patel, who is the founder of the Lighthouse Capital Group, and we're talking property development here today on the programme. And in a moment, we're going to be talking about the shocks that have been experienced in the market by people and the changes to legislation. Also, we're going to be talking about, from an investor's point of view, what can you gain as an investor and what opportunities are available to you, and what due diligence do you need to carry out in order to be a property investor, small or large. And Dikshesh is the man in the know. So from your past experience, Dikshesh, you've been into the property markets almost, I suppose, by default back in the 90s when you helped your parents to get established. But along the way, there must have been some real fantastic observations and learning curves that you went through to be where you are today. What are those?
Yeah, I think one of the things with real estate is one of the easiest things to get into. You know, you can go to an estate agent, you can pick up the phone to a broker, and you can buy property. The biggest lesson for me is knowing your strategy, and types of the assets you want to buy. Also, location strategy is important. The third component is also your tenant and the type of tenant you want to work with, whether it's professionals, students, or even local housing authority tenants. And that's been a big eye-opener for me. Definitely. And I would certainly, for people new coming to this business, focus on your strategy, because property is a business. And if you view it as a business, good things can happen.
As a novice, what is the strategy? What's the process that's involved in that?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, I run a mentoring and mastermind group, and, you know, we work through people's initial personal drivers, personal goals. because they will drive where you want to move into your business. They then derive into business goals. Off the back of that, you then have some formula that you want to achieve over a specific time-bound period. And then what we do is we work on the funding available. That then drives the kind of assets you want to buy. And they're also driven by where and location, because obviously budgets are important.
So it's not all about having a pot of money and saying, well, I'm going to go out and buy a property tomorrow and make some money out of it. There is a little bit more to it than meets the eye.
Absolutely. I mean, if you view it as a business, like with anything, good things can happen, because in real money, you don't make money on real estate when you sell. You actually make money on property when you buy, because you buy at the right price. So always look to invest in assets that you potentially can add value, whether it's extensions, renovations, or, you know, potentially even a distressed asset. So try and buy well up front so that you can avoid any future blips in the market or the economy.
We're talking to Dikshesh Patel today from the Lighthouse Capital Group, and we're talking about property investment and making sure that you do all the right things and follow the right strategies, as we've just been told by Dikshesh. In a moment, we're going to be talking about what changes and shocks there have been in the market and the changes to legislation that are needed for proposed legislation and the impact of Brexit as well on the property market.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.
So, Dikshesh, in recent years, there's been some shocks in the market. What have caused those shocks? Is it the legislation? Is it proposed legislation? We've been through many ups and downs economically as a country. And, of course, the impact of Brexit. What does it all mean to us as a property investor?
Yeah, so it's like with anything, you know, any industry you're in, legislation will always come through. And, you know, I always say to people, you've got to roll with the dice, right? So in tax regulation, Section 24 for property landlords has a huge impact in the last tax year, where your mortgage interest is no longer allowable as an offset expense. So you don't get any mortgage interest relief on personally owned assets. In answer to your query around Brexit, you know, it's an interesting question, because if we look at the FX exchange rates between sterling and all the outbound currencies, sterling is very weak. So, you know, everybody outside the UK, investors, they find the UK market as a safe haven. And, you know, the pound is on sale at the moment. So people coming in with offshore money, they're investing.
They're getting more for the pound, aren't they? They're getting more for their money. So does that mean that we're now ready to expect more investment from foreign investors? Or is there still scope for us here in this country? And is there still hope?
There's always hope. And I think even if you look at today's market, there's still a lot of funds coming in from outside the UK, because the UK is one of the tightest conveyancing systems, legal systems in the world. And that's hugely important, because people would rather put their money in asset-backed securities like real estate rather than leaving it in the bank. So yes, there is always opportunity as long as you buy well.
In recent years, there's been some shocks in the market as far as finances are concerned and investments, particularly towards the property market. What are those shocks, and what examples can you give us, Dikshesh?
Yeah, we can go back as recently as when the last economic shocks hit the world, when Lehman Brothers went bust around 2008, 2009. So what did we see after that happened? The banks start to tighten up their balance sheet, their lending criteria tightened up. The market did have a bit of a blip, but you get more opportunities when there's blips in the market, because there are more opportunities to buy assets with, you know, much better value at the front. And as long as you can ride it over the long term, the biggest lesson for me is when you have these economic shocks, cash is king, bolster up your balance sheets, because there will be opportunities as and when all the government incentives like furlough, mortgage interest relief, all the things that Rishi's doing to prop up the economy, once they start disappearing, we'll start seeing some great buying opportunities possibly in the back end of this year. similar to the times when Lehman Brothers went bust.
Am I hearing right from you that now is a good time to invest? Is this, we talk about shock strategies and the way the markets have changed, which you've explained very well. Am I hearing this right, that this is a good time to buy now, or will be a good time to buy?
It's a good time to buy in any market as long as you have the right strategy and you know what you're doing. Like for me, for example, I tend to think of me as a wholesaler. I only ever buy stock at wholesale prices. And typically, I want to buy well so that we avoid any future shocks. Now, in terms of where the market's going, nobody can, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. Nobody has a crystal ball. As long as the asset is income bearing, you know, I've got the bank's debt to be able to get the asset purchased. And over the long term, I anticipate, further growth, because last time I looked, I don't think we're building any new land in England, and it's still a relatively dense country.
We're talking to Diksesh Patel from the Lighthouse Capital Group, and we're talking property investment today. In a moment, we're going to be looking at investors and opportunities which are available for serious investors. If you're one of those, stay with us.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com. So as far as the investment side of things are concerned, are there opportunities which are available for serious investors in the residential market, perhaps either with disposable incomes or people who will need to borrow money to invest in property? And are these properties fit for purpose in terms of requirements for those with lower investment funds? So are there opportunities available?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you've got a lower investment fund, it really just depends on what your long-term personal goals are. But typically, if you go further up north, there are investment opportunities with low value stock. That's not an issue. But what I would say is, from an investor's perspective, if you look at the way savings rates are going, a lot of people have got money stashed around and they're earning pretty much close to 0% interest. There's ways to sort of bring on investors to offer them relatively slightly touch higher than, say, what you offer banks. You know, even if you are able to offer a fixed return to some of these, maybe Bank of Mum and Dad, to be able to leverage that to be able to invest in further assets. And as long as you buy well and you buy them with good cash flowing assets, you should be able to then reward your investors back again. So you
okay,
can work
so
it both ways.
Are the banks still lending, and is the buy-to-let market still buoyant?
Our banks are absolutely lending at the moment. And yes, the buy-to-let markets are buoyant because we're starting to see the upturn of 80% loan-to-values on buy-to-lets now coming as products. You also see some early green shoots of 85% loan-to-value, even though it's slightly higher cost. So there is appetite. And also because of Section 24 mortgage interest relief issues for landlords, a lot of landlords are getting out of the market. So that's actually creating a bit of opportunity there for professional landlords who want to stay in the market.
And in terms of properties, are there any particular pockets or areas where properties are particularly significant and available? Is it just the London market where everybody wanted to go and invest in, and now perhaps people are moving out to the suburbs or even up into the Midlands?
Opportunities exist everywhere. And for me, the key parts is making sure that you're in good areas with good tenant demand, good professional tenants is the ones that I like to target, and also good arterial and transportation links. So if you're buying in relatively good locations where there's good transportation links across back to even London, or even say you take Birmingham, for example, Birmingham Centre, if you look at the satellite cities, towns around Birmingham, you know, Sutton Coldfield or Lichfield or Tamworth, you know, there's some great opportunities there as well. So buying good commuter belts and good transportation links.
In terms of joint ventures and your company's concerned, Lighthouse Capital Group, where does that come in as an investor? Say, for instance, I would like to invest in a property and get a rental property for myself or even a residential property to live in. But in terms of getting into partnership with yourselves and having a joint venture, how does that take place? How does that come about?
Yeah, so most investors, when they come on board, they come on board with development schemes. So there'll be some kind of development where we're getting planning for 6 to 9 flats. We will then take the full turnkey solution. Sometimes we've got the planning uplift after we've actually gained the planning, and we might sell the property on after the planning has been granted to get the capital uplift. Or in some cases, we'll go through the build phase and get the build and construction uplift and look to sell. So the investors will come in with the equity component. We'll work on the debt with the leverage that we have. And at the end of the project, we'll manage it all turnkey, and the investors get rewarded for the investment they put in. That's one way. So another way is where people just want relatively low risk fixed returns. So we'll just provide fixed returns and a lot of that funds that we will then leverage into income bearing assets, as such that the income is not only able to service the debt with the banks, but it's also able to offer good fixed returns to investors, for especially people who are passive and don't want to take the risk of getting involved completely with property projects and property investments.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Dishesh, give us some examples, some success stories where you've actually had either a joint venture or where you've actually helped an investor to get on the property bandwagon, as it were.
Sure, yeah, no, I do a couple of sort of what I call is project cookie cutter development schemes down in London, southwest London. We purchased a scheme, investors have come in with their equity. We managed to get planning consent for 8 flats. And it actually increased the capital value of the asset and the land by over 35%. And you know, the investor managed to get, on average, roughly around upwards of 35% return on their cash invested, which was exciting.
Which is great. You wouldn't make that in an entire year, really. So that's a wonderful investment. But where do people go wrong? So that's a success story, but perhaps people have also gone wrong in investment and some of the obvious mistakes that they're making. And so for the novices amongst us who are listening to this broadcast, what mistakes are people making?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it is overstating numbers. That's number one. Number two is not even understanding the numbers themselves, whether they actually stack up or not, and having the skills and the expertise behind that. And then the third part is it's okay to take investment advice and consulting advice from experienced developers before they start diving into development schemes and start making mistakes. And that's the key for me. Make sure that you have a firm due diligence framework in place.
I was just going to ask you that. You took the words out of my mouth. Due diligence in creating successful joint ventures with yourself and, of course, with other partners and investors as well. And in terms of due diligence, briefly, just tell us about that.
Yeah, so you've got a couple of parts. If you've got investors coming in with as joint venture partners with developers, the due diligence framework actually works both ways. So number one is you should always look at the developer's track record. What schemes have they worked on in the past? What numbers? Number two is also look at existing schemes that they might be looking for investment, and actually don't be afraid to ask the right questions to make sure that you're comfortable with the numbers. The third part, which is also the most important part, is from my perspective as a developer, what experience does the investor have? What's their appetite for risk? Because in all eventuality, you know, development and development investment is one of the riskiest parts of property. And therefore, we need to know if things don't go in the right direction, can we sit down and actually work through any challenges in case there were, it could be your construction company's gone bust. It could be that the banks have started to call their loans in. It could be you didn't get planning. So we have to understand the investor's appetite for risk.
Thank you for listening to the iMoney Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Dixish Patel, you are the founder of the Lighthouse Capital Group. Now, if people want to get in touch with you from what they've heard in today's broadcast and get more information and perhaps even have a joint venture with yourself, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so you can connect with me on all social media platforms. So it's Dixesh, D-I-K-S-E-S-H, Patel on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm also active on Clubhouse as well, at Dixesh. And my email address is bigsesh@lighthousecapitalgroup.co.uk.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.